Happy Sabbath, everybody. What a wonderful day to speak about death. That's what I'm going to be speaking about today. Let's all join in. It's something that we never like to talk about. We don't like to hear the words. But it's something we're all familiar with. And last year, I had actually several friends and family members died. And I don't like using the word passed away. I know I did some research on it and found out where the origins come from. But so last year, I lost my uncle, Kim, who I was very close to. He was in the Church of God up in Oregon. I lost a good friend of mine, John Williams, who attended here, Gene Marini's son. We were really close. And I lost my cousin John, who I was really close to also, and I was meaning to get out to see him, but he fell off a bus and went to the hospital and died. And then a good friend of mine in the music world, Mike Panera. So our band played our first little gig in last December, and Mike had played on a couple of our songs, the last two that he recorded that were released. And I was telling the bass player, I'm going to go up there and tell him Mike died. And he goes, no, you can't do that. Tell him he passed away. He passed away. I go, no, it's not proper. He died. So I went up there, and we played about three-quarters of the set, and we went to play that song. I'd mentioned that Mike died, and I think some people didn't know it. And the bass player said he noticed a big gasp in the room. You know, sucked all the air out of the room. And, you know, we played and stuff after that. It was fine. But, you know, that's what that word death is supposed to do. We're not supposed to just be appeased by it. It's a serious, serious word, and it means what it says. You know, Mike didn't pass away. Mike died. So then I got to looking up the origin of passed away, where did the term come from? And I found that the term emerged in the 15th century. This is 15th century after Jesus had died, 15th century. In English writing, initially referring to the soul's departure to the afterlife. It evolved into a euphemism for death, softening the bluntness of the word die. And I think that's the whole meaning of it. You know, it's when you say someone passed away, it sounds so much nicer than someone died. And it goes on to say, this preference for a gentler term reflects the desire to avoid the harshness and the finality of death and to present it in a more comforting or spiritual way. And then I read in, it's called the Riddle Blog by Kim Riddlebarger. This is speaking of him. Those of you who know me well are probably aware of my dislike of the phrase passed away as a euphemism for death. The phrase originated in the 15th century in England in reference to superstitious notions surrounding the dead person's souls during the wake or funeral. It was thought that the soul of the departed remained present to witness the mourning process until the funeral services were over. After that, the soul departed to heaven or hell by passing away. Over time, it's become increasingly a common reference to death itself. Then I did some research on the Bible. How many times is the word death mentioned in the Bible? And in the King James Version, there were some, it varied a little bit, but for the most part, there's 342 scriptures on death in the King James Version. Death is mentioned in 45 books, most often in Psalms, which 27 times, and Jeremiah 20 times. Death is first mentioned in Genesis 2:17. Let's go ahead and turn there. Genesis 2:17. I'm going to cheat and read from here because I can't see this, but it's my prop. Genesis 2:17. But of the tree of knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in that day that you eat of it you shall surely die. That's the first place in the Bible. And then it goes on to say, another place I looked at said that death was used 372 times. So it's between 300 and 400 times in the Bible. And then in Genesis 3:22, then the Lord God said, "Behold, the man has come, become like one of us to know good and evil. And now, lest he put out his hand and take also the tree of life and eat and live forever." So just when you think about it, I'm sure God wouldn't have allowed it to happen. But if Adam or Eve would have grabbed and eaten of the tree of life, we would be in our natural state forever. First Thessalonians 4:14, we read, "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus." And these things he said, and after that he said to them. Now this goes on. So I was thinking about this. If you take the word died out or death in these scriptures, like let's do that for here regarding Lazarus. "These things he said after he had said to them, 'Our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go that I may wake him up.' Then his disciples said, 'Lord, if he sleeps, he will get well.'" It means he will wake up if he's just sleeping. "However, Jesus spoke of his death." He didn't speak of his passing away. He spoke of his death. "But they thought he was speaking about taking a rest and sleep. And then Jesus said to them," verse 14, "Jesus said to them plainly, 'Lazarus is dead.'" He didn't say Lazarus has passed away. He said Lazarus is dead. And then in Ezekiel 18:20, we read that the soul who sins shall die. God has blessed us with many. And then also, so I got to thinking about this. We've all lost so many people, and the sting of death is, it's horrendous. It hurts. It pains. But God has blessed us with the ability to have memory where we're able to remember our loved ones that died before us. And I think that's a huge blessing. It could have been just as well as when someone dies that God just wipes the memory from our minds and we don't even remember about him. About them, him or her. And I also mentioned about God protecting us by protecting the tree of life. But on the good side, and this is really good news, Jesus, in the end, eventually conquers sin and death. 1 Corinthians 15:54-57. "So when this corruptible has put on incorruption and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought into pass the saying that it is written, 'Death shall be swallowed up in victory.'" We really have that to look forward to. And then in verse 55, this is one of my favorite scriptures in the Bible. "O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory?" Can we really take into our mind the blessing of Christ conquering death for us? Not just to alleviate the sin and for us to go on in the first resurrection, hopefully, being sinless, but just that he conquered death, that word death, it's no longer going to be. And then when we read in Revelation, it talks about sin being, or death being taken up and abolished. And that Christ at that time in Revelation speaks about there will be a wiping of all of our tears. So brethren, let's all not run from the fact that death is a reality. Let's embrace it for what it is. We do have our memories to cherish of all the loved ones. You know, I was thinking another thing too. I go back to, Carmen and I moved here 2004 over at the other facility in Garden Grove, the Seventh Adventist building. And I started thinking of all the people that have died that we knew and fellowship with back then. from then to now, as Bill Wastner would say, I surmise that probably this whole room filled up as it is today would be less than the amount of brethren that we've lost since 2004. But I find it amazing how God's church, God's body, a spiritual body with us being the temple, or a living, breathing organism. Look at us. You know, people die. God brings more people in the church. It's still a living organism. So I just wanted to shed some light. You know, like I said, I've been really had a rough year last year. Not that I wanted to pass that all on to you, but I know many of us in here have had struggles with loved ones dying also, and I just thought maybe this would be encouraging to know what Jesus Christ says about it when all is said and done.